Whether you want to escape the snow or plan it, Arias Medical has you covered. Try a rewarding travel assignment during the holiday season with Arias Medical Group. Call Arias at 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's ariusmedical.com.
This is the PT Pinecast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pinecast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
All right, the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Our guest tonight is no stranger to the show, but on the show a couple of times before. Our guest tonight, neuroscientist and physical therapist, he thinks differently about the role of self-motivated mobility and shaping who we are in early life. As the director of the Pediatric Mobility Lab and Design Studio and professor at the University of Delaware, he invents assistive devices for children with motor impairments. His approach of combining high and low tech, or go tech, to restore physical independence and its neurodevelopmental consequences for disabled children has garnered the interest of the National Institutes of Health, National Science Foundation, the toy industry, and the entire field of physical therapy. On the show again, Cole Galloway. Cole, welcome back to the show. This is old hat for you. You've done this a bunch of times. It's cool.
Great. Yeah, well, I came to you this time, and I, you've been gracious enough to have us on before, and I wanted to hot off the presses. You were one of the people I thought of, along with NIH and National Science Foundation and Discovery Channel and a bunch of other go-to places. PT Pinecast was the place to go, and
it can't beat the sound effects, you know.
Box thinking, it's the sound effects.
Well, cool. Well, hey, first question is always the hardest. What are we drinking tonight?
I'm looking at a Great Lakes Brewing Company Christmas Ale. They've actually stopped brewing that for this year in Cleveland. I'm coming to you from Cleveland, and I'm also doubling up with a Diet Cranberry Ginger Ale Canada Dry. My prep for this has been classic. It's the playoff system in football. It's the Super Bowl coming up. So I watched Cat Williams, the Pimp
to
Chronicles.
In the mood.
Just now. Yeah, I've been listening to a mix of bluegrass and dubstep. Sometimes combining those two. I had some sushi and
That is a lot of different things to mix.
Chocolate chip cookies.
It's a lot of things to mix in your stomach and your brain. You've got beer, you've got chocolate. Cool. Well, excellent. Great that you're on the show, but this is a little bit different. We've had you on the show before and we always had topics laid out, but you contacted me via text a couple days ago and said, I've got something cool. Can we talk about it? And you kind of only just said it was about a mobility village. That's all I know. So what are we talking about? What's the news?
Yeah, well, I'm at University of Delaware, and we've done the Go Baby Go stuff with Ride On Cars, and people know us from that and know us from the harness systems that we work with when the light and build those. We've been sort of throwing this idea around of breaking the bounds outside of academics, outside of the medical model, outside of the magic building. We've talked about that a few points ago on other shows. My vision for the next step was to take this outside the research lab, way outside, and not only into homes where we are now with our National Science Foundation, National Institute of Health research, but to mesh a laboratory, education of therapy students and undergraduates, and community service for our brain injury folks, whether they're kids or adults, and mesh that into something very different. And the University of Delaware just has agreed to have us expand our lab to two homes just off campus. Yeah. So we have two functioning homes that we're going to start to pick out. The concept is a smart home, a strong home, a science home, in which it's a completely harnessed home. Now, this is for, just to reorient your viewers, if you're looking for a Go Baby Go style thing with Ride On Cars, this isn't just for kids. This is for kids or adults that have mobility limitations due to neurological issues, due to your brain and any kind of brain issues you have. This is a home to come into, partner with us, to potentially live in for a time, to help us generate the technology and training, a very different model. This is going to Mars, having not gone there before.
Right.
I sent you those just two illustrations. The one is of the smart home that people are starting to get an idea of. That's technology.
Right. So let me paint a picture of what I'm looking at. The graphic that Cole sent, essentially just a home, but then all the different different things that can be tied to, I guess, one control brain or one master panel. You know, you can lock your doors, you can turn your lights on and off, make sure your stove is on and off. But you're saying we can expand upon that since all that is capable. What else could be capable?
Yeah, and this is to actually sometimes remove the physical aspects, the mundane. The second figure you're looking at, and these will come together. So that's smart technology is smart, meaning that the house gets smarter, so to speak. But physically, cognitively, you don't have to do as much. The heart, because the house does it for you. The second figure I sent to you is two fish bowls, two cartoon rats, sort of in an aquarium style, but it's impoverished. They got some drink, they got some eats, that's all they have. On the right-hand side, it looks like
mouse,
a little bit of a
mouse hotel.
It looks like a duplex. It looks like a college dorm room, a frat, a mouse hotel, a tough mutter for mice.
Let's get some poles in there. Yeah.
A state fair, a strip club, pick your poison. But the right-hand side, that right-hand side with all the stuff, has some elements in it that, from a scientific standpoint, builds a brain. And to build a brain, here's the take-home message that we've all knew. We all know this. To build a brain, you have to have it in an enriched environment. And we can talk 5 hours on what makes up an enriched environment. But here's the key. We can cut all that out for humans and say one thing. Get you back to life. Out in the mundane, day-to-day, the BS, the great stuff, the stress that you had today at work, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll on the weekends, the heartache, the heartbreak, the love stories, the dance clubs, your grandma's funeral, your grandma's birthday, all that is what scientists that study the brain in rats would say, that's it. Whatever you just described, that's it. And Jimmy, the key is it's right outside of the hospital. It's right outside of the outpatient facility. And the logic, and we've talked about this before, the logic has always been in our profession and in the medical model in general, I'm going to bring you from the outside world, the enriched environment, to the inside world, the magic building, to get you ready to go to the
It's sterile. It's the stairs to nowhere. Like it's the fake kitchen in the fake supermarket.
Yeah, it's the stairs to nowhere. So we've got these two different environments. We've got this impoverished environment and we've got the community. And we desperately want to get Miss Jones, Mr. Jones, Baby Jones, whoever's our client with neurological issues, back where? Into the real world. Well, why don't we do therapy in the real world? The limitations there are pretty great. And the real world's not set up to meet us halfway.
Right.
They're not harnesses. There's harnesses over treadmills. Harnesses over things, but putting a harness in a house is a giant leap. We want to go further than that. And here's the second key. So we're going to get you into a harnessed home as a brain injury survivor, number one. Number two, we are going to assume that you need to be independent in that home. Meaning, we're not going to start with 3 times 15 minutes a day in the outpatient way. We're going to place you in the home to live.
Right, that's the only way to do it.
We're going to send you to Madrid to learn Spanish. To do that, we need a safe, reactive, adaptive, technologically monitoring home. So we're meshing all the great stuff of the laboratory in finally to an actual functioning home. And here's another key. Let's involve the user in generating the technology and training they need. So you've had a brain injury. You can't stand and walk by yourself. You have trouble thinking, perceiving, socializing, verbalizing. Let's get you in there for a weekend. Basically follow you around for everything you want to do. Take copious notes, copious video. Do that for 6 or 7 brain injury survivors. We're going to generate a list of about 50 to 70 things that we have to do to that home to approximate what? Here's the key. You to be independently living. Let's assume, Jimmy, that you want to live independently after your brain injury. Let's put you in there and fill in the gaps to get you to live independently. Literally, if you can live independently, you can stay in this home for a week, a month. Let's crack the barriers to allow you to live here long enough to become independent. Here's another key. This is not just an assistive home, like a walker. A walker fills in the gap. But you don't really expect people to go throughout life with a walker and get stronger and stronger every year. This house has to back off as you get better and better. So we put you in Madrid, give you all the cultural, language, grocery store support. You don't even know anything about Spanish. We have to take you to the bus station. We have to buy groceries with you. But as you gain some cultural, some language, some map and geography experience, we're going to back off we'll be able to turn down the technology in this house.
So you're really saying that right now, PT or rehabilitation for patients with neurological disorders and injuries, they're like that rat cage on the left. We essentially bring them into a sterile environment and we say, well, we can't understand why you're not getting better so fast. We need to bring you back to where you know you live, or at least an environment that's going to put some load on you in terms of stimulation and input, and let you figure out a way to solve your own problems.
And here's an awesome upside. That's a win-win-win. It does, this technology in this environment doesn't require less therapist, less of you as a therapist. It requires the most, the best of you, your brain. Now, we have to have a therapist helping you, not for your manual skills, not for your hands-on skills, for your ability to think conceptually from impairment to participation. It's a brand new student experience. It's a brand new neurological clinical specialty experience. For me, it is now finally, you're getting paid for what we all should be getting paid for, which is expertise. And it's expertise in combining with the user to fill in those gaps. I think it's a very easy model. I'm going to put up our numbers and research as we go forward the next couple of years up against anything. Standard of care, triple the standard of care in outpatient, and let's see who wins. I'm really excited to have a partnership with users, with therapists around the country. We're going to crowd problem solve, in that we're going to use social media to get problems and questions out about our homes, invite third graders through corporate leaders. Everybody's got a home. Everybody can participate in this. And I think it says to the world, for therapy, for education, for universities, big wow. Big, big wow. We're not going to stop at the home. Everyone wants to leave a home. So when you want to leave the home and go to work to your sweetheart's apartment, that therapist goes with you and fills in the gaps again, but also we're creating the technology. Therapists have never been asked to create technology, to start small businesses, to fill the gap. The way it is right now, design and commercialization of technology is usually by experts that are outside users. We're going to be partnering directly with users. The technological gaps and the flip side of that, which is the niche market and the number of really user-centered technologies, physical therapists have a very unique set of skills, most of us. They're social and science. And I saw from your class at Marymount and other GoBabyGo students that I've interacted with, there's a brand new generation of students. This BS that I'm hearing about the new student not being plugged in may be a percentage of students, but there are another group of students, you included when you were, that don't see boundaries. You didn't grow up with silos. You didn't grow up with practice acts that stopped, waist down as us, waist up as OT. You've already broken the bounds and do things planet-wide. That new grad should be paid more. Private practices that do this kind of thing should reap the harvest, and people should be starting startup companies to fill this niche in. I fully expect within a year, I hope this home has service delivery to it as well. Not only for brain injury survivors, but for caregivers. I think the learning aspects, the technological tryout from industry.
Let us beat on it.
Come put your technology in a real functioning laboratory home. We hope to have multiple one of these. And then share. And this is, we've always been like that with GoBabyGo. We want to share. If you're a company, come license the patent. If you're, an average Joe that wants to build this at your own home, sort of a one-off, we'll give it to you for free. We'll help you do it if we can. So that's why, of course, I thought of PT Pinecast. I thought of you personally as an outside-of-the-box thinker and just somebody that doesn't respect a tradition and boundaries enough to let it block you from wanting it. And I just tripped across this. I'm always trying to figure out ways to motivate the mobile about the immobile. And that's our biggest blind spot. And we've talked about that too. How can we as mobile individuals care for somebody that has such a different experience? Urgency to you and I is get it done in a month.
Well, you get it done tomorrow.
Literally, we could not move until we figured out a problem. You and I had figured that out tonight. How do you give that experience to somebody? I'm not so sure that if you come into this house as a student, especially as an undergraduate, has some freedom of time, that if you're working with somebody that can't stand and walk, you're not going to stand and walk until you figure out whatever it is, your small portion of that. So if it's figuring out a utensil in the kitchen, if it's figuring out something in the bedroom or the bathroom, until that's figured out, you also can't access that technology in your life. That's the only way I know, hands-on, blue-collar, apprentice style.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
World. Yeah, Yeah, yeah. And there's examples of disability technology that is good for all of us. And that's another thing, is we've got to see users, folks that are impaired permanently or temporarily, as innovators. They go around the planet with a very different experience, and different experiences are a cornerstone of innovators that corporations want to. So I hope people see this as a, like I say, a smart home, a strong home, which emphasizes mm-hmm. the harness, a science home, because it's going to be a home to research and technology. For most of all, I hope when people enter the homes that it's a sanctuary, a refuge, an impressive, grassroots, grounded place where people leave going, I want that. I want that as a junior high kid.
Yeah,
I want to
I've
be
seen you.
In
I've seen you talk at Marymount University about Go Baby Go, and I remember you pointed out, you singled out a bunch of like third and fourth graders who were in the front row, and you essentially pointed at them and said, "I want to come back here in 5 to 10 years, and I want you to be teaching me something about something I missed, or something I should have done, or something we can do next."
Yeah, and there's two different worlds out there: the world of the traditional medical model and the world of something new. And another thing I tell audiences is, and I love coming on PT Pinecast and just sort of speaking, which is just telling it. Which is in our area of rehab and brain injury rehab. And I just talked to Darcy Reisman, who's a card-carrying bigwig in stroke research at University of Delaware also, and I asked her today, tell me if I'm wrong. We were talking about harness houses and the mobility village. Do you agree with this, Darcy? And she's more conservative than me. She's a bigger brain than I am. She's more traditionally science-trained than I am. I said, think about this. Is this okay to say to audiences? In our area of neuro rehab, we don't have a disparity. Why? Everybody gets shit. Everybody gets 11th century technology, meaning you basically a walker or a crutch. Now, some people get zero G in an impoverished environment, but there's not that much disparity. So check this out. It's hard to get the lay public to understand that you see robotics, you see high-end technology, but when you have your stroke or head injury, when you get diagnosed with Parkinson's, you come into a clinic and expect something that's just not there. But here's the upside. That's not the magic. The magic is giving you the ability to stay in your community home and provide assistive technologies that fill the gap, and rehabilitative technologies, maybe they're the same technology, rehabilitative technologies that backs off as you get stronger, smarter, better thinking, or verbalizations. And again, this is just the basics for right now. By the first part of the summer, we better have our first residents, our first undergraduate and PT scholars. We better have some corporate sponsors that want to come in and make a big splash for this brand new technology. And I hope that by the end of the year, we have service delivery, that we're doing some therapy in this. I'll know we're really pushing the envelope when we get some pushback from traditional models. Wait a minute, you know, how can you do that? How can you do that?
Yeah, the fact,
is it home care?
Yeah, the fact
is
that no one will know
care?
What to label it is actually a good sign, because it means it hasn't been done before. I don't know what to do with this. Where do we label it? Where do we put this? That's a great sign. So what's the short-term, long-term? So short-term, you're saying this is going to be good to go by summer. When are you going to be really getting this and having the rubber meet the road?
Next week, we start looking at houses. The university owns about 50 houses in the area. We'll choose a couple of those, put a fence around them, get them nice looking, do some branding. And then we have probably half a dozen traumatic brain injury survivors that have been in the cafe. They're doing really great. They all say hi. They're doing great. And we're having super fun with Davina Kumar's PhD project there. We'll take them and their families, be our guinea pigs. And we're interested both in the survivor and the caregiver. Caregiver, and we really haven't talked much about that, the rats that care for those rats in the enriched environment, they're under siege. The science of caregiving is now not nearly as gray as it used to be. The black and white of caregiving is tens of millions of people are caring for a loved one. And what we see very clear from the literature is financially, physically, psychologically, they are pouring resources into their loved one.
Yeah, to their own detriment.
Knowingly and sacrifice-wise. And check this out. Not the lost wages from when a third of the people have to quit their job as a caregiver. That's the other thing about the disparity. Once once grandma, mom, you as my spouse have a brain injury, within weeks to months, me as a full-time employee, but also the caregiver, will be under siege. I probably will go half-time. a third of us will go part-time to have to quit our job. That's real. And not the lost wages, but if you paid caregivers, let's say $5 to $8 an hour, something relatively minimal, for the work they do to caregive, it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 to $50 billion with a B, which is bigger than home care.
Wow, that's a lot.
And the nursing home industry, no one talks about this. No, I never had this in PT school. I don't think anybody is talking about this. Caregivers, forget revolving door of the survivor in the medical system. The caregivers, the one or two caregivers, and their extended network of secondary caregivers.
Yeah, you talk a lot about the patient with a neurological disability, a neurological issue, neurological injury. You know, long term, you know, conditions like Alzheimer's, that doesn't just affect one person. That is not in a silo. That is affecting a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
So add that layer on that. You know, you and I are together. You're my love when I'm taking care of with a brain injury. I'm dropping you off a Friday afternoon and picking you up on a Sunday afternoon. Not only are you going into an enriched environment to help create, and again, this rehab that you're involved in is not one-sided with one arrow going from me to you as the professional to the patient. This is a collaboration to figure out the technology and training that you need, and then to possibly create that technology with 3D printing, with mishing and mashing of existing technologies to fit your package, and then you take that home and possibly we outfit your own home, but also for those 2 days, and maybe you do 2 days every 3 weeks, you're not only training undergraduates and PT students by you being there.
That's great. I love
it. You're giving your caregiver respite. I mean, almost orgasmic. It's just right there, and it is so PT. This is so us, and the time is so right now for this. I have lots of friends that want to build up rehabilitation from the ground up. I want to burn it down and replace it, and I'd like
love
to rebuild
it. I love that stuff like that.
Off of that magic building with this kind of thing. I really hope we have some area PTs that want to come in, bring some of their clients. We have a fabulous PT clinic, a neurological sports ortho PT clinic at Delaware, and I'm hoping that I can beg them to.
It sounds cool. Mobility Village. I mean, you're expecting what? Two houses coming online sometime this year, this summer?
Yep. And we'll have some webcams that people can watch and learn. And
right.
And again, with the Go Baby Go mentality, planet wide, get it out quick to everybody's. The arrow's mainly gone from us at GoBabyGo Central out. We hope to actually now reverse that and have as much information coming in from survivors. How cool would it be for brain injury survivors around the planet to take control of their own destinies and partner with us to generate, how about do this with Reston? How about you try this? I tried that in Tokyo. I've tried this and that and this. We can solve anything. There's 7 billion people out there in the world. Put crowd problem solving on it. And there's lots of examples of corporations now realizing, wait a minute, you can solve it quicker
with many hands 10, make light work.
Third graders than you can with high-end engineers.
Yeah. Can people go online and find out information about where this is going, or where should they be looking once you guys start to pump out information? You mentioned a webcam. I know a lot of people would want to be peeking in and seeing this, and your track record with Go Baby Go is essentially, we're going to create something, then we're going to give it away, and then you hope you hack it and send it back to us to make it even better. Where can people check out more information about this?
Stay tuned to Go Baby Go website. Like I said, it's so new. This was the very first sort of public talk about it. But we hope to have figures up of conceptual drawings. That's the next stage.
Yeah.
We hope to do a mock-out video, much like the Gravity Restaurant, that's the Harnessed Restaurant, to do that so people can get a wind of it. And then really, at that point, the next phase is having our guinea pig users in the Newark, Delaware area with brain injury survivors and their caregivers come in, six families over a three-month period, and I think we can generate the first level of what we need in the house. So even if you ask me what's going to be in the house, I don't know until I have these six families help collaborate with us to tell us what the first things are. This is a user-centered,
To go along with your rat analogy, essentially you're going to put the rats in the cage and then ask them what they need to actually have to get better, or what would make their existence better. That's cool.
It's going to be awesome. I have toyed around with possibly in the next year or two actually myself living in one of the floors. And when I mentioned that to industry, that gets them excited because they're like, wait, you're going to live in there.
I don't want to jump ahead or anything, but reality show. Could this be a reality show? Yeah.
You're so funny. That's
yeah, I mean, like, sure, making the invisible visible and taking a look at this. And instead of saying, hey, we're going to do rehab behind closed doors, put it out there. You know, I talked with Adele Levine, who wrote the book Walk, Don't Run, at her time with Walter Reed, and she said their clinic with the amputees at Walter Reed was essentially like a fishbowl, and she said the guys, the amputees, the soldiers, they loved it because it made them feel like they were on stage, and instead of hiding them in a corner, put them out there. Put them out there in front and center.
It's a stigma buster. That's exactly what I thought too. And it's an educator of the public. And I hope that insurance comes to us going, we want to get involved. Oh, the other thing I was going to tell you, that when I look at how people trying to motivate audiences that are mobile, sort of typically developing, neurologically normal, so to speak, audiences about these issues, I think I hit on it yesterday when I ran across some websites about how you rehab a thoroughbred, a stallion or a thoroughbred or racer. All I have to do is show a couple of slides of what the typical stroke survivor gets and what the typical stallion gets. And it's obscene. And I don't have to say another word to people. Everybody I've mentioned that to, I don't even have to talk about disparity or value or stigma. People get ticked off. It's awesome. I mean, I've tried the stuff with who likes to pee by themselves. I tried the stuff with who loves sex and wants to continue to have it. That falls flat. When I show what other people have that you don't have, that's a loss model and people go kind of gaga. But when I showed people what we do for animals and what we do for our grandma, boy, that you could tell half the crowd got verbally hostile. They were pissed. They were like, what? Why isn't this for us? Why haven't we moved forward? And I don't answer that because it's too complicated and I certainly don't know. And honestly, I don't care. Let's leapfrog all that madness and just provide a model system.
I think when you point it in the direction of someone's grandmother, that's when you really stoke the coals, because you know it's never going to happen to me. You know, if I'm of PT student age or if I'm in middle age, but you can picture it happening to your grandmother. And all of a sudden, that's when people get really pissed and say, "Why isn't my grandmother getting more?"
Yeah, and it is interesting why we haven't put more time and effort into our own brains, which we all agree scientifically are the most complicated things we've ever even envisioned, way more than the universe. Yet we put so much money behind so many other things that even on a scientific viewpoint, I mean, like the particle accelerator that spans multiple countries, it's billions and billions of dollars. And we do spend a lot of money on all the grandmas and all the teenagers with brain injury as a collective.
Can we spend it better? Not,
yeah, got to. And we got to now because I'm going to have a stroke soon. And for me, and I think people should be, I try to get audiences to realize, be very greedy with your own brain. If you do not help us go forward, you too will enter the 11th century when you have your neurological, and maybe it's not you. Maybe you get lucky. But when your loved one does, you will quit your job, or you will send them to a nursing home. And if they have to go in a nursing home, that's great. But if they don't,
it's never a good thing when someone has a situation like this. But a lot of times, you do hear of high profile people having a situation. You know, whether their newborn child has a developmental delay, or one of their family members has a stroke, and all of a sudden they become a spokesperson for that disease or that pathology. We'd like to just say, hey, here's this thing. You don't ever want to be exposed to it, but if you have to be, we've solved the problem already. Let's solve it now, so if this ever happens, we've got it covered.
That's the coolest thing, Jimmy, is that the key to rebuilding your brain is getting Jimmy back to what Jimmy wanted to do all the time. So it's the hope message that we've, in the medical model, that we've always been afraid of because it's pie in the sky. And I'm just talking about brain sciences. I asked my brain science buddies who just study rats. They don't care about humans. They're not particularly soft social people. If you put a rat in an enough enriched environment out in the wild after a brain injury and came back a number of years, what level of recovery could there be? And they're like, I don't know. It depends on how enriched it is. It depends. It was the sky's the limit. Well, we in human terms, we call that hope. I'm not sure where you can go. You can be anything. You could be president. You can do anything you want. That's what they're telling us. And here's the other thing they tell us. I asked my friend Anna Klintsova, who's a world-renowned plasticity researcher here at University of Delaware in the psychology department, eating dinner with her 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I asked her pointedly, hey, and she's Russian, not that soft. Mm-hmm. She's a sweetheart, but she's science. She's hard science. I said, here's the situation of that left-hand rat situation, the pristine environment, the pristine sterile rehab. What do you think it looks like? showed her a picture of a typical gym, a couple of outpatients. She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, just take it from the social standpoint. If the rats aren't social, then what happens? And she said, here's the quote, not social is deprivation. I said, wait. You're telling me that if you're in the enriched environment on the right and have all the bells and whistles like at a home, but yet you can't access it and you're not accessing it socially with other buddies, other rats, then you don't consider that to be enriched? And she goes, no, that's deprivation. Of course it's deprivation. We're social animals. Now into the clinic.
Right.
Oh, no. It's like an institution. And people are going to be like, what is he saying? I hope people understand what I'm saying. It's probably as good as you can get. Here's another take-home message. When you're discharged from inpatient, I think many families assume in rehabilitation, and we don't mean it necessarily in rehabilitation, but they take it. When we say you're not making any more functional gains, I hope they don't take that you can never make functional gains. But what we actually are saying, many of us don't know this, in this impoverished environment, we can't give you any more enrichment to pick up on any changes. Now get into the Go Baby Go Cafe for 2 months. No wonder your cognitive, social, and perceptual and motor scores go out the roof. Why? It's an environmental change. Ask a social psychologist, how do you get long-term behavioral change? They'll say you there's only two ways.
And that's what you guys are doing. You're essentially making the cage, but you're making it their home, and you're filling it with their life to be more social and to be rehabilitative.
And if you ask who's building that, like you said, the rats are co-creating that world. And their buddies are. So the first steps is Reston and Stacy and Ann. And Ann will have a party where their buddies will come over to what? Their own home that they live in, a laboratory home. That's what I'm actually looking for as a first step, is when Reston is walking around in a harness or getting around in any way he'd like to in the house, and he feels like at his house, he's getting his buddies a beer or a soda,
right?
And they're going and arguing over who's going to watch Netflix. And I'll sit back probably in tears in the corner and just go,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm probably worried about the camera.
Well, listen, I'm going to offer my services, my microphone, and I will bring the keg, and we can have a first kegger in this house. I'll open it up to that.
There you go.
Sky Donovan from Marymount. Of course, she will. She taps the keg.
Sky will be there. We have to have her.
Well, hey, I'm going to make sure we link to this. And once you guys get information on the website, I want to be sharing this with people, because as you said, this is going to be information from the users, but also other problem solvers from around the world. And I mean, just hearing about a mobility house where people can leave that sterile environment of either inpatient or either outpatient rehab and start rehabbing in their own living rooms. I know people are pumped to hear this.
Cool. Hey, thanks so much. It was awfully nice to know I could turn to you and have an educated.
Sounds good. Yeah, we're going to pump this out, I know people are going to be excited to hear about this, because hairs on my arm are standing up. I know you've been thinking about this and working toward this for a long time, and I'm just glad to hear that it's becoming a reality, because a lot of people are going to be affected by this.
Cool.
That's super cool. Hey, and one of the houses, at least one, if we can't make the one house both peds and adult compatible. And peds meaning babies and toddlers.
Yeah, I would love to come up.
A whole separate house that'll be peds and toddlers.
I'd love to come up and just look.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. We'll have Amy and you and Sky. And
cool. Excellent.
Yeah, thanks so much, man.
Get every episode we release delivered fresh right to you. Subscribe to the PT Pinecast on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher Radio. And never miss an ice-cold episode. Introducing EcoPro Pillow Covers, good for the environment and your clinic's bottom line. EcoPro Pillow Covers are the clinic pillowcase replacement designed to be wiped clean just like your treatment tables. Each EcoPro Pillow Cover saves you 2,600 gallons of water per year, time spent laundering pillowcases, and the money involved with clinic laundry, with no special cleaner required. A special deal for Pintcast listeners: when you order online at EcoProPillows.com, you'll get free shipping on any size order with the promo code Pintcast. EcoPro Pillow Covers, created by PTs for PTs. Considering a travel assignment over the holidays, or ready to escape the cold weather for some winter sunshine? Arias Medical Group is the leading healthcare staffing agency, offering travel and full-time career opportunities for PTs nationwide. Call Arias at 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's ariusmedical.com.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.